Back here on the Mighty 690, coming up on 740, and it is time for an update from the folks at Coffeyville Regional Medical Center. And joining us, it's always nice to, you know, have an expert in the room. We have cardiologist Dr. Patrick Tinker. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Hey, good to have you in here, and I hope your summer has been going well. It's been a few months since we talked here, so it's great to have you on once again.
It's nice to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, it's really nice to be able to have you in the room to talk a little bit of, you know, heart health, and you probably know the statistics a lot better than me. I mean, it's still, isn't it number one still, the heart disease, the leading killer in America? It's
that's
right
what
up
I,
there.
That's what I see in the news.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of it.
It's just hard to believe, and something that, well, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, the heart's a big pump, but, you know, it's kind of an important pump.
It is important, and it's emotionally important, too. People have a great feeling about their heart and that, it's almost a spiritual thing. People see it, that, and the brain as being really important organs, and they are. They're emotionally as well as physically. But yes, we do have a lot of heart trouble, and a lot of people die of heart trouble. The good news is that they're dying at older and older ages, and people have heart disease for years and years with proper treatment, and many will last a long time with it.
Well, you mentioned you mentioned the kind of emotional aspect, and of course, we've studied for years the kind of any sort of a link between, you know, we talk about our hearts, that sort of thing emotionally, but is there any sort of a link, if you will, between, you know, I'm sure there's stuff with like stress and emotions that play a role in heart disease.
A great deal, yes. And the ancients knew that. At the beginning of humanity, people always thought the heart was important, even if they didn't really know what it did. They also thought the stomach was. we know now that emotional problems, emotional scare, fright, fear, can lead to a heart event or a heart attack. But I think that for the general public, to kick off our discussion, I'm going to talk about the nature of what causes different kinds of heart trouble. And the heart can have disease of the muscle of the heart, which is it's a ball of muscle that pumps blood. The muscle can be diseased. The blood vessels that provide nourishment to the muscle can be diseased. The valves that check the direction of flow, they can be diseased. And there can be electrical rhythm troubles. All of these can cause troubles in the heart. Now, earlier you and I discussed how there are certain symptoms and warning signs that people should be aware of, and many people do these days because of educational efforts. But let's just go over some of that. Breathing and trouble breathing is a common manifestation of heart trouble. Any of those kinds of muscle, vessel, valve, and rhythm, all of those kinds of heart trouble can lead to breathing difficulty. Typically, people will say they're breathing fine when they don't do anything, but if they get up and move around, maybe a lot of exercise or even just a little will cause trouble breathing. They have to stop when the breathing gets better. That's a warning sign that heart could be the problem. Pain in the chest is commonly known, and of course it is true, especially with blood vessel disease, that pain in the chest with activity is a warning sign and ought to be attended to. It tends to be something that begins as a warning and might very shortly lead to a very serious event, so it's not the kind of thing you want to put off. Chest pain really should be looked at by a professional. Dizzy spells, fainting spells, a feeling of lightheadedness, a feeling of pounding in the chest and lightheadedness. Those are warning signs that heart is probably involved and should be checked out. Of course, once you get checked out, it's true that you could have a problem with valve and blood vessel, or muscle and rhythm. All of these things go together, or you can have one without the others. So it's a complicated situation, but if a person has breathing trouble, chest pain, pounding in the chest, these things ought to be checked out.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, you know, we hear a lot on various public service announcements and that sort of thing about AFib and atrial fibrillation. Can you explain a little bit about what this is, what the symptoms might be of this, and how it's actually treated?
AFib is the shorthand for atrial, and that's the two small chambers of the heart that are receiving vessels. Atrium, or two of the four chambers of the heart. Left atrium and right atrium. Atrial is the origin of this rhythm disturbance. Fibrillation is a disordered electrical activity so that it's not organized. It's a disorganized activity, so it doesn't lead to the atria contracting properly. They don't give contraction. They just sort of quiver instead of beating in a rhythmic fashion. So atrial fibrillation occurs and causes the atrium not to contract, and that will lead to breathing trouble, a feeling of racing in the chest, a feeling of exercise intolerance. Atrial fib is very common. It can be brought on by certain conditions, such as thyroid trouble, lung trouble. The list is long of things that might be causing it. Of all the many, many cases of atrial fib we see in a week or a month's time, we figure out the cause of about half. And about half have it just as a result of aging or deterioration of the electrical system of the heart. And we never find this or that or the other curable thing that caused the atrial fib. Atrial fibrillation is treated with medication, and in some cases, a semi-surgical procedure is necessary up through the vessels of the leg and go up to the heart and find the offending area and burn it. And that can relieve atrial fib in some cases. Most cases can be treated with medication, and sometimes we make the atrial fib go away. Sometimes we just make it go slower so it doesn't bother a person, and they go on and live a long time like that. So atrial fib is not scary, really. It's not highly lethal, but there are certain things we must do to prevent danger and injury, to prevent stroke and different complications. We use medication and are quite successful in almost all cases to prolong life.
Now, we hear some advertisements and that sort of thing of these portable EKG devices. Are you familiar at all with these sort of things where it's you can put your fingers on them, I guess, and they claim to be able to take an EKG that way?
Well, yes, I'm familiar a little bit with them. I know there are smartwatches
sure.
and this kind of thing that will tell you have AFib or you don't. And I've found that in the last couple of years, they've become quite accurate. And they're getting better on the blood pressure machine that blinks and says AFib or not. So those are getting better. But I think the smartwatches are pretty darn good at telling you if you have atrial fib. So if it says you have atrial fib, it ought to be checked out.
Have you seen patients come in who maybe had their watch tell them something that then they went ahead and scheduled an appointment and met with you?
Often.
Interesting.
They do. And if you have an atrial fib problem, it's not a bad idea to get a device that will tell you about that. And then you can say, oh, I've had it half the time, or I haven't had one in 3 months, or, you know, we need that. That information is useful for us.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, the medical equipment has come so far. I mean, I know there's still some options where, you know, you do patch people all up and everything and they wear the monitors and stuff. But now it's cool to be able to have some of that technology on a watch.
It's also true that about half the people who have atrial fib, they might have symptoms like dizziness or a feeling of weakness or something off, but they don't really feel palpitations. They don't really feel breathlessness, and they just don't know if they have atrial fib or not. It might be very vague. And the other half of the people can tell you the exact minute the atrial fib started and the minute that it went away, And there is no doubt in their minds they know when they have atrial fib. We'll put the monitor on to find out if they are really correct when they think they have it or they don't. They can be having it when they're asleep and don't know it. So they will put those monitors on to get valuable information. But it's also valuable to have the smartwatch and you say, hey, I think I haven't had any, or I think I have, and that helps us.
Yeah, another set of data points. We always like that.
It's a data point.
Anything else, you know, that you want to talk on here while we have this valuable time with you, sir, regarding, you know, heart disease, any other things that, you know, people should be thinking about? Maybe especially, too, you know, people are going to be exerting themselves here this summer, and definitely I know that can bring on some problems.
Yes, exercise is a good thing, and exercise in the long run reduces the risk of heart disease. It reduces the death rate. People who exercise have a lower death rate than people who don't. Having said that, it's also true that extreme exertion is often the time when people who are going to have a heart event or die from it, it happens during exercise. So that sounds weird. Oh, I know Uncle Joe died while he was on the treadmill. Now, that's true, but if you are on the treadmill a lot, the risk of dying from exercise is less than if you never exercise, then you do a little bit and have an event. So it's complicated. But the thing to remember is that regular exercise reduces the incidence of heart attack and the death rate from heart trouble. So exercise is good. You should do it short of your maximum tolerance. When you get to the point you don't have another ounce of energy, like extreme athletes, you know, professional athletes can go to that extreme, and there's not much risk because of their training. But in the average citizen, you should exercise to about 75% of your maximum. Let's say your maximum heart rate should be, based on your age, and you can Google this, but your maximum heart rate, let's say, should be 150. Beyond that, you collapse. Okay, you should not do to 150, you should do to 75% of that. So you should regularly do it 4 or 5 times a week, and you'll live better, feel better, live longer. People always ask about diet. They ask about what you should eat. Oh, I can't have any heart trouble. I never eat hot dogs or whatever it is that they have gathered in their head. The thing about diet has changed a lot. The truth about it has changed in the last 20 years. So it doesn't turn out that eggs are bad for you. It doesn't turn out that if you never touch a hamburger that you're safe. You know, a hamburger, the part of the hamburger that's the worst might be the bread and the greasy sauce.
Sure.
And the meat might be the healthiest part of it besides the lettuce and tomato. But the point about diet in our era is that it's less important what you actually eat than how much, because having extra weight carries a much greater risk of heart trouble than the fact that what you ate included a modest amount of bacon, the occasional sausage piece, the hamburger once in a while. But if your weight is higher than it ought to be, cut out the bread. That's new. That wasn't what was said 20 years ago. But even the Food and Drug and the government and the recommendations of universities acknowledge that old food pyramid really doesn't do it. It's a matter of how much you eat.
Sure.
Another good thing about our era is that you inherit the tendency for cholesterol to be high, regardless of what you eat. It either is high or it isn't. And if it's low, that's good. Don't gain a bunch of weight and enjoy eating a well-rounded diet, like Grandma would say. If Grandma says, oh, that's good food, Grandma's pretty much right. Eat until you've had enough and then quit. then go outside and play. Do what grandma would say. And that's pretty good diet. It's better than reading all these reams from the government that changes from year to year. Do what grandma would say. She was pretty much on it.
I
eat
like
your vegetables.
Keep it simple. You know, we tend to overthink a lot of things.
Correct. Correct.
Hey, well, my grandma just turned 99, so I'll listen to her.
Yes. She knows something.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
she knows something.
Sir, as we kind of wrap up here, anything else you'd like to share? And, of course, I know, you know, you're always available here, the good thing at CRMC, and I know people can always make an appointment if they, you know, have some of these warning signs maybe we talked about, and then they want to come and have an appointment with you.
Well, I am a cardiologist, and my primary job is at Coffeyville Regional Medical Center. And I'm grateful to be there. It's a great environment. I'm very, very pleased with my gig there. I work with Amber Lopez, who is a nurse practitioner with a whole career of cardiology experience. So between us, we have clinic. We follow pacemaker problems. We see people with heart disease of all the types. We have long-term care. We do pacemaker insertions. So we're here. And appointments are not hard to make. We don't have a serious backlog. So we're happy to see people with heart trouble or questions of heart trouble, and look forward to continuing for a long time to help the people of Coffeyville.
All right. Well, Dr. Tinker, really appreciate you coming in this morning. I think it's really interesting. And I know we've even got lots of people watching here on Facebook. So it's a good,
hello,
good
Facebook.
High for us. So I think this is a popular topic. This is something that people really enjoy and can learn something from.
It gets you in the heart.
That's right. Hey, well, thank you so much for coming in, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for the day.
All right. That is Dr. Tinker here on KGGF, and we appreciate him coming by from CRMC. We're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes. We do have open line coming up here in just a few. Also, some programming from K-State Research and Extension right after the news.